The scripture text this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, and I shall read, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." God bless the reading of His holy word.
This morning's message is entitled, "Return to the Bible Daily." The Bible is the perfect word of God. Our God is a perfect God. And all the works of God are perfect. And that includes the preservation of His own word. God has preserved for us His word perfectly. Everything about God's word is perfect. Even the tense that is used to describe the written word is in the perfect tense. Our Lord Jesus answered Satan 3 times on the Mount of Temptation. Referring to the word of God, it says, "Gegraptai," it stands written. It was written in the past and it stands. The word of God stands today. And the word of God stands tomorrow. And through all eternity. And Satan himself has to acknowledge that the word of God stands. Even when he tried to tempt our Lord Jesus, to tempt God the Father, by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple, he said, "Gegraptai," for it stands written. He has to acknowledge that the word of God stands. Says, "For it stands written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." This is the word of God, the perfect word of God. The Bible is the written, revealed word of God, the written, revealed will of God. It is the manual for Christian living. From here we receive the faith. Not any faith, but we receive the faith. And the faith that is given to us, the Bible faith, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His redemptive work on the cross, is a faith that is to be lived out daily by grace. And grace is not the reward for faith. It's not because we have faith in the Lord, so the Lord rewards us with grace. Grace and faith both are the gifts, are gifts from God. And our faith is a walk. It's a daily walk. It is not a point. Although there was a point in time when we heard the gospel and we consciously made the decision to receive our Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and to make the conscious decision to follow Him daily in discipleship, daily discipleship. Although our election was before the foundation of this world. Then again, our faith is a warfare. There's a conflict going on. There's a warfare going on. A war going on. And it's called the conflict of the ages. Between believers and Satan. Between believers and the world. The world system. Every age of humanity rebels against God by setting up a system of doctrines that will ultimately lead to the Antichrist. Or the Antichrist. So our faith. This is a world system. The doctrines and philosophies and the ways of the world. And it's again a daily warfare. And the warfare is also within us. Our old sinful nature. The residual nature. It's always warring against the things of the Spirit. Against the Spirit. And so our faith is a daily walk. Our faith is a daily warfare. We are a called out people, called out of the Spirit and the ways and the doctrines and the pursuits of this world by our Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel. The Bible says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are pilgrims. And the world system is continuously working to erode our faith and, if possible, to dismantle our faith. But we are secured in Christ. But that's what the world system does. Of course, the God of this world is Satan himself. Yes, if we are of the world, then the world will love his own, the Lord Jesus tells us. But we are not of the world. Therefore, the world hates us. And this is how we measure how spiritual we are. At our place of work, our place of study, and other places, and we take a stand for the Lord. We love the Lord. We do not participate in the sins of the world. We do not join in. We share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. The people of the world will dislike us. Yes, they may ostracize us. They may speak evil of us because our lives put them to shame. We prick their consciences, and then they hate us. But we do well before God. And we take a stand. We live a separate life, not for show, but because we love the Lord. Because we are Christians. Because we are a light to the world. And then the world hates us, but we do well. Our faith is word-based. It's not feelings-based, although we have feelings and we express our feelings, and that is good. But our faith is word-based. And so every child of God has a daily business with the Bible. The Bible is our business. If we have no business with the Bible, we are moving in our own wisdom. And soon we may even excel the unbelievers in worldly wisdom, carnal wisdom. We will think like the world, we will act like the world, we will live like the world, we like the world, and the world likes us. If the Bible is not our business, we are out of business spiritually. We'll be out of touch with God. We're not going to touch others for Christ. Satan is going to touch us. And very soon the brethren will be touched to pray for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 to 17. Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is God-breathed. The word is theopneustos. It's a compound word. It's from the word theos, means God. And pneuma means spirit or breath. And so we have a branch of study in theology called pneumatology, the study of the Holy Spirit. It comes from this word. So the Bible is God-breathed. Scripture. All scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed upon by the Spirit of God and is therefore inerrant and infallible. The word of God cannot fall, it cannot fail, it has no mistakes. All the promises and all the prophecies, etc., stand. Anything that is not God-breathed is not the word of God. Even though they call it scriptures. There are many religions in the world, they have their scriptures. But anything that is not God-breathed is not the word of God. No, it is the word of the God of this world. It is Satan-inspired, it is falsehood, it is deception as regards the way back to God. Salvation is falsehood with regard to the way of salvation. Any scripture that is not God-breathed. And the Bible is God-breathed. So the Bible is the word of God. Now the world is going to hate us for saying that. In fact, the world has hated Christians for speaking the truth and for preaching the truth down the ages. So the world is going to hate us for that. And including some Christians who haven't quite understood that the call to salvation is also a call to warfare. Not physical warfare, not jihad, but spiritual warfare. The Word of God immediately tells us in these two verses that we've read that there are four reasons why we need to read God's Word daily. First, for doctrine. Second, for reproof. Third, for correction. Fourth, for instruction in righteousness. Or instruction in the way of righteousness. And all these will profit us spiritually, whereas if we are worldly wise to the extent that we gain the whole world and lose our eternal soul, what profit is that? The Lord Jesus asks us. What profit is it if we should gain the whole world? We are able to gain the whole world, but we lose our soul, our eternal soul. It is utter loss and misery of eternal torment, eternal separation from God, from which there is no deliverance. We lose our soul, there is no deliverance. Let's look at the first. For doctrine. Profitable. For doctrine. The word is didaskalion. For teaching as doctrines of the faith. We need to grow in our understanding of the faith. And we have to get it. We have to get all the doctrines of our faith from the Bible. And to keep meditating upon it. And to pray over the word. So that it gets to the heart and then through the life. We need it for salvation, for sanctification. We need it for service, for the setting up of the church, and etc. We have the Word of God. We meditate upon the Word of God. We need to pray over the Word of God, because we may know the Word of God, but it doesn't mean that we will obey the Word of God. And we may want to obey the word of God, but it doesn't mean we have the strength to obey the word of God in the times of testing. So we need to meditate upon the word of God, and we need to pray over the word of God. But that's where we get all the doctrines of our faith, the Bible. We do not get the doctrines of our faith from our own opinions, our own preferences, our own imaginations, and or from self-improvement books, and so forth. But from the Word of God. We hear people say, doctrine divides. We believe in love. Love unites. Doctrine determines life. And yes, it divides. The fundamentals of the faith, of our faith, divide. It is a necessity. We worship Christ. Another worships something else. Maybe Guru Nanak, Sai Baba, Buddha, whatever. It divides. We cannot worship with them. The Lord Jesus says, what fellowship has the light with darkness? So it divides. It's meant to be. So that there is witness and there is light. Moreover, love without the word of God is erroneous love. It's destructive love, and it unites unto trouble. Ecumenism will unite and lead to a one world apostate church that the Lord will judge and destroy when He comes again, at His coming. So this unity is unto trouble, is unto judgment, is unto damnation. So doctrine truly divides. The Lord says, I come to bring a sword, not peace, but a sword. A divide. Divides. Then again we hear people say, no creed, not creed, but Christ. No creed but Christ. But Christ is the Word made flesh. And the Word means truth, means doctrine, means creed. No creed but Christ, they say. But Christ Himself is creed. Credo, I believe, is from the word, Latin word. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, in the days of His flesh, the people asked Him, the Jews, said, what shall we do? That we might work the works of God. And the Lord Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. So Christ Himself is creed. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are saved through repentance and faith. Let's move on. The second reason why we should read the Bible daily. The Bible is, the Word of God is profitable for rebuke. Elenko. We are to rebuke a person who needs to be rebuked on the basis of God's Word to bring about a conviction. We need a conviction of sin, of wrong, of wrongdoing, so that we may repent, make right with God. So the word of God has the element of reproof for those in sin. When we are in sin or we have sinned, and we listen to God's word speaks to us, rebukes us. Hence we are called to endure the word. The Bible says to endure the word, that the word might do its work in us and lead us to repentance. So this is the second point. The first point we summarize, it is to teach what is right. The second point is to rebuke what is not right. Then the third reason, the word of God is for correction. If a brother or sister does wrong, he or she should be corrected, should be set right gently. And this should be done privately. If rebellious and stubborn in the face of entreaty and gentle correction, then comes the reproof. The stronger than gentle correction, the reproof that we mentioned earlier. The word of God has the corrective element for those who err from the truth. For example, in ignorance. So we run up the third point. Show how to get it right. Then the fourth point. The word of God is for instruction in righteousness. And this emphasizes that doctrine should be lived out in our lives so that we may be righteous, or we may be judged righteous before God in the way we walk as children of God and by men and women who know the word of God. So this one we just say, walk right. So we teach what is right, we rebuke what is not right, we show how to get it right, and then we walk right. And in verse 17 we see the purpose of it all, that the man of God may be matured in the faith through living out the faith and be thoroughly or truly equipped unto all good works to minister to others, fully equipped for the work of the ministry. This is talking about the man of God, minister of the gospel. But any believer and every believer should also grow in the faith, in the word, so as to be equipped for ministry, for service and ministry. And so every minister and every believer has a business with the Bible. Some may be in full-time ministry, but all are full-time Christians. Yes, the word of God must be read and meditated upon daily. The word of God must not be just the Lord's Day book, but it should be an everyday book. The Bible must be our daily companion and our dear companion as we sail through the sea of time, as we pilgrimage through this earth, this wilderness. All kinds of people make pilgrimages to all kinds of places. For example, gamblers make their way to Macau, Las Vegas, maybe Genting, one of these days to Marina Bay, Sentosa. Christians make their way to Israel, Bethlehem, Jerusalem. It is good to visit the place where Lord Jesus once walked and lived, the place where he died, to bear the judgment of our sin upon his very self, and then be stirred up to greater zeal, greater devotion, greater commitment to him. But there's one pilgrimage that we must not forget or neglect. It's the most important pilgrimage, and it's our daily pilgrimage to the scriptures, to the word of God. The Lord wants to meet us, wants to meet with us here. We come to his word and we pray to him, pray over the word. So make our pilgrimage to the Pentateuch, to the patriarchs of our faith, to the faith of our fathers, to the Psalms, the Proverbs, the Prophets, major and the minor prophets, to the Gospels, Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles, then to the Epistles, into the book of the revelation of Jesus the Christ. We must not miss this pilgrimage. Daily, little by little, part by part, line upon line, precept upon precept, it is to be ongoing. Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 19, says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we need to come to the Lord, the word of God, daily for cleansing. The word of God will cleanse us in our walk with the Lord. It will sanctify us as we understand the word of God in our minds, as we take heed to it, and as we apply it in our lives. And then we understand it in our hearts. The Bible mentions young men. The young are prone to run head on into many things. Older ones like ourselves, hopefully we have learned from our past life and our past mistakes, our many painful experiences and learning experiences. Yes, the Word of God has the power to cleanse us from our sins, that therefore we must never depart from it. So let us make it a point, make it a necessity to return to the Bible daily. If this is not so with us presently, if this is not true of us presently, so let us together seek revival of our hearts unto God. Let us seek the times of refreshing, the former and the latter rains. It's the Word of God. We come to the Word of God. Let's consider the Word of God, a few points concerning the Word of God. The Word of God, first of all, is majestic. Because God is majestic, and His Word flows out of His person. His person, nature, character, being, His glory and His majesty. So the Word of God is majestic. And listen to this. God has magnified His Word above all His name. God says in Psalm 138, verse 2, He has magnified His Word above all His name. So never ever hold a low view of the Word of God. Hold a low view of ourselves. Say we are ignorant. I am ignorant. I plead ignorance. I pray for more understanding. I have imperfect knowledge of the perfect Word of God. Let us be seen as foolish, ridiculous, whatever. But never hold a low view of the Word of God. We have heard of the crown jewels of London, right? House in the Tower of London. Yeah, we pay so many pounds, so many pence, go to view them. We were there years back, then conference, Christian conference, and I refused to pay the money to go inside and look at those crown jewels. I tell you, they are nothing compared to the jewel of God's Word, to the glory of God's Word. And as a Christian, if we will live rightly, and if we will live well, we need the crown jewels of heaven. Even a king, if he wants to rule rightly and rule righteously and rule well, he needs the crown jewels of heaven. The Lord has magnified His Word above all His name. The Lord places His Word above His name like a crown. King Edward VI was called the boy king. He was crowned king as a boy, like Joash of the Old Testament. And he died. King Edward VI died in his youth. He was taught the Word of God by his nanny, who brought him up, and she was a devout Christian. And she literally brought him up upon the Bible. At the age of 6, he already was made to read through the Bible twice and the New Testament several times. At the age between 7 and 8, he has learned many scriptures by heart. At the age of 9, he knew all the main doctrines of the faith. And at the age of 10, he was crowned king. And at his coronation, the various representatives were there. And then one stepped forward, holding the sword with the blade pointing downwards, of course. And the sword of Scotland pledges allegiance. And another stood forward with the sword of Ireland pledges allegiance. And then the sword of this and the sword of that. And when it was all over, he looked around and he seemed displeased. And then he cried out. He said, "There's a sword missing. The sword of the Spirit." He says, "How can I rule without the sword of the Spirit?" And so they hurriedly brought the Bible. So that the Bible should give his allegiance to to him, but that he should give his allegiance to the word of God, that he should submit himself to the wisdom and the counsel of God's word, and that he should rule by the wisdom of the word of God. And he died young, at the age of 16. But there's a sovereign will of God. God doeth all things according to his own plan, his own purpose, and his own good pleasure. And God doeth all things well. For unto us is given the duty to trust, to accept, to submit, and to be content. And if we learn this, then we will have comfort and assurance in all circumstances, in the day of adversity. Second point, the word of God is pure and powerful. Psalm 12 verse 6 tells us the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Purified seven times. Cannot be purer. Perfect. Again, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God's word is very pure and powerful. It is so because God himself is pure and powerful. All purity and all powerful in his perfection. And his word proceeds from him. God's word is powerful because it is pure. At one time we were talking a lot about apple cider vinegar in our Bible study group. How good it is. No? Brex, apple cider vinegar. Good for health. Good for everything. And one of my Bible study student went to buy a bottle, and then she went home and poured a glass and she drank it. She forgot has to add water. And so she got into trouble, you know what I mean. Yes, it's pure. It's powerful because it is pure. As believers, God purchased us to purify us. God purchased us with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to purify us. And so we must come to the Word of God because the Word of God is able to purify us, sanctify us. Then God delivers us from death in order that He may discipline us to life by the Scriptures and by providence. So we must return to meditate upon the pure and powerful Word of God. We need the Word of God for our sanctification as well as for answering the gainsayer. We live out the faith. We also have to speak up for the faith. We also have to answer the gainsayer. Years back, we were evangelizing Tampines New Town. We were doing door to door. By the grace of God, in 11 years, we covered every house in Tampines New Town through our weekly evangelism as a church. There was this man, we knocked at the door, he opened the door and he was quite cheerful. He's a Muslim man. He says, come in. Let us discuss about the Bible. So we went in, my member and myself. Went in, we sat down in the living room. I could see this wall-to-wall bookshelf with all the books, Islamic books and so forth. Maybe he's a Muslim leader, maybe he's a Muslim student, maybe a scholar. But whatever it is, he came and brought drinks for us. And then he sat down. And the moment he sat down, he fired a question at me. And then I realized that his idea of a discussion is that he does the questioning, I do the answering. So I breathed a prayer to God. I only had time to just pray to God one sentence. I said, Lord, help me to answer this man from thy word. So for about half an hour, he fired one question after another, and the Holy Spirit, God never fails, the Holy Spirit brought to my mind or brings to remembrance a scripture. And so I remembered I held the Bible, and I told him, I will answer your question from the Bible. And so I just turned to the verse and I read to him. And then he accepted that and he went on to the next question. That's how he does. One question after another. And every time the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance or brings to remembrance his word to answer this gainsayer. It was a wonderful experience for both my member and myself to see the good hand of the Lord, the goodness of God, to help us to answer a gainsayer from his word. After half an hour, he ran out of questions. And then he was quite honest. He said, "I think I better study deeper into the Quran, or into my Quran." And we pray that by the grace of God, in his searching, he may come to Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope of salvation. Let's move on. The word of God is a harmony. Scriptures do not contradict scriptures. Scripture interprets scripture. Scripture is the interpreter of scripture. One scripture explains more fully another. And so let all understanding and all exposition of scripture be in conformity to the analogy of faith, or to the analogy of scripture, to the consistent teaching of scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13. I read for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Comparing scripture with scripture. We use scripture in the light of another scripture. Comparing scripture with scripture is a divinely appointed method. God gives us wisdom to use His Word. So we need to come to the Word of God diligently, daily, and compare Scriptures, and learn and understand more of the Scriptures and the Scriptures that we have known in a deeper way. Every day is too much for us without the wisdom of God's Word. If we do not meditate on God's Word, we go out in the day, we will mess up. We will fall, we will fail. You will be a bad testimony. We dim the light that is in us. Every day is too much for us without the wisdom of God's Word. We need to come to the Word of God daily. Just an example of comparing Scripture with Scripture, or comparing Scriptures. John chapter 16 verse 24, the Lord Jesus says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that the joy may be full." Now this verse is not the whole theology on prayer. If we take this verse and we say that's the theology of prayer, then we'll be in trouble very soon. Okay, we need to read also James 4 and verse 13. I shall read for us. James 4:3. Or we shall read maybe from verse 1 to 3. "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hands, even of your lusts, that war in your members? He lusts and hath not, he kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. He fight and war, yet he hath not, because he ask not. He ask and receive not, because he ask amiss, that he may consume it upon your lusts." So that's James 4, 1 and 3. And that's not all. We also have to go to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." We can pray and our prayer can be abomination in the eyes of God. And then there's Proverbs 1, verses 24 to 31, through 31. But we shall just read one verse, verse 28. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." So there's a principle. From here we understand there's a principle also of praying too late. There is such a thing as praying too late in certain times. If there be any outside cries this morning and this day, if we have not yet come to Christ and put our trust in Him as our Lord and our Savior, there may be a time, or the time will come, when we are in hell and it will be too late. When we pray in hell, it's too late. So we plead with those who are outside Christ to come to the Lord Jesus. The Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord Jesus calls us to come. So if any there be this day, we've heard the word of God, we have heard the word of God again, maybe we have heard the gospel umpteenth time. But this is again the day of salvation. And we must come, and quickly come, before it is too late. Let's move on. The word of God is all-encompassing and all-sufficient. The word of God is sufficient. So we need to study more and more of it, that we may be more and more sufficient to live out the faith and to know how to live out the faith. The word of God is sufficient for every season because it is the word for all seasons, because the God is the God of all seasons. Years back we were with a lady who, a sister in Christ, and whose body was wrecked by cancer. She was almost skin and bone, emaciated, yellowish, greenish, and she was in pain, groaning. She's a believer. And then the ambulance was called, and we tried to put her onto the stretcher, but she was very painful. She couldn't. She was all curled up on the bed. So we took out the bed sheet and put her in and lift her up and put her on the stretcher and brought her to the hospital. Or went with her to the hospital. And then they propped her up properly. And she was groaning. In fact, the Lord took her home 2 days later. She was groaning, and the words that came out of her mouth were 3 words. It's in Mandarin. She says, "Kansechu," praise the Lord, thank the Lord. To keep on saying that in a pain is really wonderful testimony. And what is she saying? Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. It is the word of God. It is the word of God that came forth from her. It's the psalmist. It's from the Psalms. Yes, the word of God is the word of all seasons. She can praise God and she can have the word of God to bring her comfort even at such a time, because she has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord and a Savior. She knows that when she passes over, when she leaves the earthly tabernacle, she will be in the presence of the Lord, and there will be joy, pleasures forevermore. There won't be pain, sorrow, grief. And so even at such a time as this, we can praise the Lord with His word, because the word of God is the word for all seasons. So sweet was the faith of a child of God. And this should comfort us, that the word of God really is the word for every season and every situation and every state that a man or a woman can find himself in or herself in. Yes, God's word is the word of all seasons. It gives light. Psalm 119 verse 130, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We can be wise if we come to the word of God. And then we have to act in the light of God's word. We have to act in God's light. If we do not act, we have the light, we do not act, then there will be dimness in our lives. And if we keep on neglecting the word of God, there will be darkness in our life. And we won't be able to face the trials of life and to face the evil day. Every one of us will have our the evil day. Every day is evil, the Lord says. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Apostle Paul says, redeem the time, the days are evil. Every day is evil, but there will be the evil day in each one of our lives, some more, some less. Then we need the word of God to be able to stand in the evil day of our lives. So let us remember to come to the word of God, to return to the word of God daily. If we have neglected this godly practice, this devotion, if we have allowed the things of the world, the cares of the world, to draw us away from the Word of God, then this is the time. Now is the time to return to God and to His Word. Then again, the Word of God is the Word that can convict and convert a soul. Psalm 19 verse 7, the first part says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." God's Word, by its power and by its light, is able to convict a man and a woman of sin and to convert him and to lead him in the path of sanctification. Then again, the Word of God is able to comfort and console us, our hearts, because God is a God of all comfort and all compassion. As we go through life, we are going to need a lot of comfort. We may be strong against something, but we may be weak in the face of something else. And we cannot be strong in all things unless we are really keeping very close to God. And even that, there's a fierce warfare going on between the flesh and fear and faith. So we need the Word of God. And the Word of God is able to comfort us. The arm of flesh will fail us. Very often we rely on the arm of flesh. When we have a problem, we look in all directions except upwards, except to God. When all else fails, then we remember God so often. But the arm of flesh will fail us. It is in varying degrees, and some will utterly fail us. But there's the Word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the Word of God. And the Word of God cannot fail. It cannot fall. Because God is God. Then again, the Word of God is able to build us up. Okay, that we have actually mentioned. But you just repeat it. God's Word is able to build us up in the faith. Able to edify us. If we are coming to it daily, be strengthened to face all kinds of situations and trials. Now we can go on and on about the Word of God. But these will suffice. In conclusion, what ought we to do with the Word of God? Of course, we have been repeating something, the same thing, coming back to the Word of God daily. So we're going to look at just a few points, and then we shall close after a story I shall tell us. The first point is a daily return, or daily read the Bible and meditate upon it, chew it, think upon it. Just like when we're in love. How we delight to think upon the person of our love. Huh? The person we are in love with. It's so delightful to think upon the person. We won't get tired of thinking when we are in love. When we are out of love, it becomes burdensome. Very tiring. Let us learn to delight in the Word of God. Let us learn to love the Word of God like the psalmist who delights in the Word of God and in whose Word he meditates day and night. That's the psalmist. And then he says in the psalm, he says, "Oh, how love I thy law." So let us have the heart of the psalmist. Daily read the Bible. The Bible is the only book, someone said. The Bible is the only book whose author is present every time you read it. God wants to communicate with us. God wants to fellowship with us. Commune with us. And we do it through His Word. And to pray over His Word. A good prayer life is tied up to a careful study of the Word of God. So as we study God's Word, as we understand more of God's Word in our minds and in our lives, and as we engage in prayer, then we find that our prayer life will improve because it's carefully tied up with the study of God's Word. If we don't read God's Word and we pray half the time or more of that, we'll be praying amiss. If we have God's Word, we keep on reading God's Word, we don't pray, we don't have the strength to obey it. We think we can stand because we know it in our mind. But when the day of testing comes, we fall. We keep on falling. So we need both. Second point, approach the Word of God humbly, prayerfully and reverently. Humble ourselves before the Word of God. Pray over the Word of God before we read it and after we read it. Be conscious that God is speaking to us when we read the Word of God, and that will help us to do it reverently. There are different ways of reading God's Word irreverently, and we won't go into that. But we ourselves know. So we be conscious that God is speaking to us when we read His Word, and that will help us to do it reverently. As we said earlier, I repeat again, we need to pray over the Word of God, because we may know the Word of God, but it doesn't mean that we are willing to obey the Word of God. And if we are willing to obey the Word of God, it doesn't mean we will have the strength to obey the Word of God. And so we need to pray over the Word of God. Third point, discipline our hearts to obey God's Word. That's personal responsibility. We acknowledge that it is the grace of God that helps us to do what is pleasing to Him. And at the same time, consciously, we have a personal responsibility, and that is to consciously act, and to consciously mortify the flesh after prayer. God gives us grace. Our wills need to be submitted to the Spirit. If our wills need to be bent, God will bend it. God will help us. Only trust Him no matter what. Now, everyone is a sinner. All of us are sinners, saved by grace. And a sinner has a strong will. God often helps us in our sanctification by bending our wills to conform to His, for His glory and for our good. It's like spiritual physiotherapy. God bends our will in His wisdom. The Word of God is your life and my life. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verses 46 and 47, the Bible tells us, obey the word, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life, it's my life. So this is the third point, discipline our hearts to obey God's word by a life of principled obedience. Now I shall close by telling the true story of a little girl's love for the Bible. And may the Lord challenge us to love His Word and to come to His Word daily. Come to it daily. Now this happened in Wales in a village called Aberginolin. Here a girl by the name of Mary Jones once lived. And during the time, the Bible was not so easily available. Neither is it cheap as nowadays. But Mary loved the Bible. And in 1800, she walked 25 miles barefooted to the lakeside town of Bala to buy a Bible with money she had saved over a long period of time. And this prompted the founding of the Bible Society to ensure that Bibles are easily obtainable and at prices people can afford. As I was writing down this story, you know, for the sermon, then the nursery rhyme came to my mind, but the words are different. It's not Mary had a little lamb, but Mary had a Bible read, Bible read, Bible read. Mary had a Bible read, her love is sure to grow. The Bible warns us Christians, that in the latter days the love of many will wax cold. When the love of Christians wax cold, it has got to do with our heart towards the Word of God. The Lord be merciful to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Lord, we are humbled before Thee. We acknowledge that we have much knowledge of Thy Word in our minds, but we have not loved Thy Word in our hearts. Neither have we obeyed Thy Word. Often we have sinned against Thee. We have been careless. We have treated Thy Word lightly in our lives. We pray for Thy forgiveness, Lord. Cleanse us and draw us back to Thy Word. For Thy Word is life, Thy Word is salvation, is sanctification. It will prepare our hearts for glory. So Father, bless us as we continue with this morning service, and as we prepare our hearts to come to Thy table, undertake for us, Lord, and help us, for we are weak. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.